Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another awesome week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. All right. We're going to kickstart this episode off like we do each and every week, and that is sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, and your amazing spaces. Thank you so much for using our hashtag, STR Share Sunday. Of course, STR stands for short-term rental. So if you're new around here, if you use our hashtag on Instagram, we are... cruising the IG, looking for who's using the hashtag so we can share you not only on our Instagram every Sunday, hence the name, but also here on the podcast. Annette, who are we loving up on this week?
This week, we are sharing at the Oliver OKC. Again, ooh, at the Oliver OKC. Two huge things about this space that I want to share, and I hope that everyone seriously takes action from it. Number one, well, I guess it's going to be three. Number one is they have really paid attention to every single light fixture in their property.
Oh, you know I follow this.
And if you have never paid attention to your light fixtures, I encourage you today to look up because it can, for a very affordable investment, really change your space. So if you haven't looked at your light fixtures, put that on your list of your wish list of things to change. They are crushing it, and every single one is custom. But number two, the reason I'm drawn to their lighting even more is that they also purchased all of their lighting from a local shop in their town.
I love that.
And so it's all custom. And so I want to give that store a shout out too. It's at Live Boho OKC. So I love that they were intentional about their lighting and then intentional about who they purchased it from. So they really were doing a give back there. So if you can pay attention to your lights and then you can find a vendor in your town, do that. And then thirdly, something that really stuck out on this property is they have a guest wall. And it's an actual like chalkboard wall where people can They have little notes left behind so people can actually write handwritten notes and then have them on this very well-designed wall. So not only does the host get to enjoy the notes, if they have a turnover team, they get to enjoy the notes, and then the future guests get to enjoy their notes. So it's kind of a spin on a guest book. Mm-hmm. But well done, the Oliver OKC. That was, just the surface of how awesome their property is, but I wanted to keep it really concise for you because I really want you to pay attention to their lighting in their property.
If I may too, listeners, if you want a few more lighting tips, number one, lighting is the easiest way, I think, because even over painting, to bring your space current. So if you've got older light fixtures, things that are from the 90s, early 2000s, I'm telling you, they look dated. I'm sure they work. You can donate them. You can resell them. But they are dating your space, I guarantee you. On top of that, make sure you're getting light bulbs that are soft white, not daylight. So many people get confused that daylight would mean like sunshine in your home. No. They look blue. They're meant for the garages, basement, more like work spaces. Soft white is meant for the interior of the home. I like to keep the Kelvins around 2,700 to 3,000.
Wait a second. I think we just need to do a lighting episode.
We will.
You're getting real. She's getting real fire.
Two things.
I don't even know what you're just talking about.
Update your light
pictures. Who's Kelvin? Is he the guest on the show today?
That's actually a good question. Where Kelvin comes from.
I don't know, but Kelvin isn't on the show, but I like our guest today. We'll just pretend that.
Yes, update your light fixtures, have pretty light fixtures, make sure they have the right bulb in them. Okay, so moving on to today's show.
I want to do a timeout. Oh. If this has inspired anybody to change their light fixture, because maybe there's you guys have a partner and you've been fighting over light fixtures and you change them out, send us a DM and let us know or an email saying, you know what, we've been on the fence about the lighting and we knew we needed to do it. So
You can't get your partner on board, send us a picture of the dated fixture. We'll give them we'll put them on blast on our stories and say, change this light fixture.
You need to get that thing out of there.
All right. We have a very special guest on today's show, someone who is near and dear to our heart because Mike Hicks is here today. You guys, he is a real estate maverick. He's been all over the map in terms of what he's been involved in the real estate industry. And he's a member of our Hosting Business Mastery. Mike has been in real estate for over 20 years, where he began his career in new construction. Shortly after, he added long-term rentals as well as flips into the mix. And now he's purchased, built, flipped, and sold over 225 properties, including short-term rentals and single families and small multifamilies. Mike is also in self-storage, where that is where his office is. He's got it all decked out.
He's literally in self-storage right now.
Yeah. But his background is like dialed in. It's like he gets the whole brand thing and it's good. He and his wife, Tia, began their short-term rental investments in 2016 after converting a duplex into a short-term rental. And of course, they got hooked. So Mike is here. He's going to talk about a little about real estate. We're going to talk about his journey into short-term rentals. He is really into a very specific kind of short-term rental experience, which I think is getting you all really excited to hear more. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, we are so pumped. We've got the master.
Yeah, we forgot to say that Mike has an amazing voice too. He's ready for the audio today.
All right.
Yes. And listeners, just to let you know, I don't even know how long we've known Mike, but we always like to circle back that, man, when we started hosting, we never knew the friends that we would make. So we're excited that not only is Mike part of our membership, but we're friends. We're actually going to go visit him soon, which we're really excited about that. But let's dig into it, Mike, because yes, you started with your duplex, but you've taken it to the next level and you're taking it to like these all like way next levels. So just kind of tell us a little bit of your story with short-term rentals and real estate and where you're headed.
Yeah. So like I said, we started with the duplex and then kind of moved into a few other single family homes. And then I got this wild idea after watching a few YouTube videos that I wanted to build a house in a shipping container. The local jurisdictions didn't allow for it. So I thought, I'll just build it in my parking lot at my office so I can show them what it can be. And we did that. Still didn't like it. They still wouldn't allow it. So you know, I decided to go driving one day and find the perfect piece of property for the container. We drove for a few days, a few Saturdays, and finally found that piece and went from there. So now I'm kind of hooked, infatuated with the shipping container homes and tree houses and the yurts and doing the unique spaces, creating something that you can't just go everywhere in the States.
Let's unpack the fact that you did a shipping container home in your parking lot. So did you do full on, like you did the whole kit and caboodle to show them the concept, or did you just like give them a taste and tell me about that? And then talk to me about, did you let the city know you were going to do it? Like, cool, we'll wait, we'll see what it looks like. And then we'll chat, or did you just do it and then bring them over to see it? I want to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I actually went down and pulled a building permit and built it there in the parking lot, but I built it out to the completions phase of what you would see in the short-term rental. In fact, it looks almost identical now as what it did when we built it. So on the inside, we didn't do anything to the outside other than hang a flower box under the window and paint the door, but we wanted them to see what the inside could be. And then, you know, once I figured out where I would place it, I would figure out what my outsides would look like.
So then where is that container now?
So we found a brow lot on the side of Lookout Mountain, just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, about 30 minutes south. You know, it's probably 35 feet from the edge of the mountain. Looks right off and has the most amazing sunsets that, you know, in this area.
So probably good the city turned you down because it forced you to go to a better location, most likely.
It did. And it kind of pushed this whole idea of the glamping and creating the unique spaces for those to get away and experience something totally different.
So Mike, you've been in real estate for a long time. You've done a lot of different real estate strategies. One of them being long-term rental buy and holds, flipping that whole thing. And now you're in short-term rentals. Can you give our listeners like an understanding of how those two worlds are different and then maybe pros and cons of both investing strategies, both the short-term rental investing strategy and the long-term, and why you've decided to go all in on short-term?
Well, the long-term is, you know, it was fine. It was less touch. It didn't require as much of us. And I say that because my wife does most of the touching on the short-term rentals and I did the long-term rentals. So I'm not going to take credit of managing the day-to-day and taking those phone calls and dealing with guests. So she is a lot more hands-on on that side than I am, you know. But with the long-term rentals, you know, it's to set it and forget it, take care of the maintenance and take your cash flow. With the short-term rentals, it's a much higher return, but you're, you know, a much higher touch. Mm-hmm. That's to me the only major difference is I feel like the short-term rentals are better maintained because A, you're keeping it better for your guests, but B, your guests are being reviewed on how they leave your property. So they're taking better care of it.
And so, and obviously the numbers, you said there's higher returns on short-term. Would you say that more than compensates you and your wife's time being more involved with it? I mean, you're continuing to do it and you're doing more of it, or are you just so far in now that you have no choice but to keep going for it?
Oh yeah. I mean, we're probably four times the income with short-term rentals than we would be with that same long-term rental. So yeah, it's definitely worth it. Yeah. We're getting to the point to where we're offloading a lot of the day-to-day and getting rid of that task. So we have more time to enjoy each other.
Nice. So good. Now, let's talk about, we had a guest on recently and we didn't talk too much about this, but with the unique stays, I think Sarah and I get, you know, so many people that are interested in short-term rentals and they want to do it they're thinking about their neighborhood or a building that they want to put a unit in, or, you know, just a very maybe high traffic area of town. What is that endeavor when you're like, okay, I want to create a unique space, i.e. a container home or glamping, when you're looking for land? I know everyone's always asking us, okay, they're ready to finance. They've got to get the financing ready just for purchasing a short-term rental or, you know, furnishing. They're taking their long-term to short-term. Talk to us about that additional layer of expense when you're not only having to purchase land, but then also, you know, put the container or the tent on the land. Can you walk us through how those are different? And are those, do you have two different lenders? Or you have different business partners on that? How do you go about purchasing just the land?
Sure. So there's several ways we've done it with land versus a stick-built home that's already in place in a neighborhood. You know, it requires a lot more due diligence and a lot more looking around and a lot more searching for that. You know, yeah, there's land everywhere, but, you know, I want that piece that pops, that has the view, that has the water, that has something that sets it apart from just, you know, your average short-term rental. So that in itself, you know, creates a higher entry level on the purchase of the land. But what we found is that a lot of these higher priced pieces of properties have been held for 20 and 30 years by the same families. They've got it priced out of above market. We found that we can go in and create a creative seller finance offer that allows them to get the price that they need, the payment that we need, and make the deal work. So once we're able to get the property under contract with the seller financing in place, we'll then reach out to private lenders, IRA lenders, and finance the build itself. So there'll be 2, 3, 4 notes on each property sometimes.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I want our listeners to hear that. Say, you said 2, 3, 4 notes. And we're not talking about, he's not a songwriter here.
No.
he's a land developer. That's,
man,
that is.
That's scary for a lot of investors. I mean,
that scared me.
What do people share with you, Mike, that like, that sounds like too much for them? And how do you, does it not stop you?
It doesn't scare me, but it scares the lenders. And, you know, any lender that, the private lender, any class that they've taken, anything that they've been taught is that they need to be in first position and have that first lien. You know, and it's just, it comes down to building relationships and networking with individuals and creating that long-term relationship. You know, I've been keeping a credibility packet for the last 6 or 7 years. And anytime I borrow privately, anytime I've closed on a property, I ask for a thank you note or a referral when I pay the notes off.
Mm.
And I keep that. And I use that when I go and sit down with a seller, or even if they're far off, I'll email them the packet and go through any questions. So I've built rapport with these private lenders that, you know, and they're small IRAs. So they're only lending $50,000 here, $50,000 there. It works for them. They can get a good return. I'm getting the money without any money out of my pocket and building this out and then paying them back quickly.
Weekly? Wait, hold up.
Quickly.
Oh,
quickly.
I was like, weekly? You're really getting these. You're making sure that you're not missing a beat.
No.
Okay.
So how would, what kind of tips do you have for any of our listeners who are like, God, that sounds so good, Mike, but how do I get started? Like, sure, you've got referrals now and that's good for you. How do I get the first 1, 2, 3 going so I can get those 1, 2, 3 referral notes? What are some things that someone can do to get started getting the trust of private lenders?
Yeah, so the first thing, you know, I think is if you're just getting started in real estate, JV with somebody, partner up with somebody that's bringing the money and you brought the deal and y'all put it together and do it together. You know, that's how I got started. And the way that I got into finding private money was because of that first partner. They wanted to partner. I was putting these houses under contract. Then I would go in and rehab them and we'd split the profit. Well, they decided halfway in that, okay, we're going to travel and we don't want to do this anymore. I had 4 properties under contract and I don't have the means to go buy them. So I started going from title company to title company and saying, do you have anybody that lends privately? And the third one I went to said, sure. And that lender's been with me for 4 years and lends millions of dollars. You know, it's insane just by asking.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's good. By asking.
And that's what in listeners, Annette and I have, well, you know, we just had a recent episode about how we're, you know, we've been talking about something for years and years. Well, maybe at least 2 years at least, but which is, I guess, 1 year.
It feels like years and years and years.
But we are like, no, we have to start asking, start putting it out there what we want, connecting with people. And listen, listeners, you can start developing your own brand. I mean, Mike, that's what you were doing. And you were working when you were joint venturing, JVing, right, with someone else. You were starting to build the Mike Hicks brand. And you made sure that you were an amazing borrower from day one. So I think you don't have to have anything fancy to build your self brand, to know that you can start building up your resume.
I want to go back because, first of all, you've said like so many great like nuggets in there already, but I want to go all the way back because this is encouraging that you're saying, look, people that have owned land for a long time, they want a premium price. So just kind of understand that. And you're not maybe probably, you know, that's in real estate. You're like, everyone's like, network and find the deal, find the deal, find the deal. It's like, you might not get that deal. And it sounds like you're prepared on land, especially primo land, that you're going to pay a primo price. And you've just decided that you're going to figure out a way to make that work. And so it's a win-win there.
I was taught years ago, you can give price or you can give terms, give both. So, you know, if this seller's asking $100,000 for this lot and I think it's worth 80, but I can get them to carry it at $400 a month until paid with no money down, that's a zero interest loan that I've just created. And both of us are happy. They're stubborn and they wanted their price, but I'm going to get my payment. So I put no money down or 10% down and carried this $100,000 note with zero interest for as long as it takes to pay off at $400 a month. So it's a phenomenal tool, and I use it anytime I make an offer.
Now, why would
houses or land?
How do you convince a seller that, you know, but what if, you know, wouldn't they want a lump sum right away, right off the bat? Or what's in it for them other than they eventually get their high price? What are some benefits to dripping out that payment to a seller?
It's all, you know, I sit down and listen to what the seller's wanting. Mm-hmm. And when I figure out what the seller wants, then I can figure out how I need to structure my offer. But 9 times out of 10, they just want that price and they want a steady monthly income. They're usually retirement age. So they want that steady pay coming in,
yep,
regardless of what's happening out there. So, you know, I've done some. The lot that the container's on, you know, they had to have some interest. So, okay, we gave them 2%. You know, so then they said, well, we don't want to wait 10 years. So, okay, we'll pull in you in 5. You know, so you just go with them until you figure out what works for both of you and nail it down.
So what does that mean, balloon you in 5? Explain to our listeners what that means.
Okay, so it's basically, it would be a payoff in 5 years, a balloon payment at the end of 5 years.
I always think about it this way, listeners, like the balloon's going to pop in 5 years. And in 5 years, you've got to pay them. And then it's just going to explode all of their money that they were owed. And how can you do that, Mike? How can you then just, let's say you have a $100,000 seller finance loan, you've been paying them off, but you got a balloon coming up in 5 years. What's a way that you could pay them off without money out of your pocket?
Well, the obvious way would be to go to the bank and refi. And that's the whole reason we're funding these deals like we're doing, is because it's hard to go to the bank and say, hey, I'm going to build a shipping container house and set it on this $100,000 lot over here and make a vacation rental. And they'll probably laugh at you.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, proving it works, you know, do a year, 2 years, prove that it works, and then go refi. You know, but if you've got 2% financing, I would wait the whole 5 years and then refi.
Yeah. Because
there's no point in paying that 5% off early. That's cheap money. That 2% off our list, too cheap to pay off.
Yep. Okay. And we do want to get into your, you know, your glamping, your containers, but one more question. So you will take some of your properties have 2 or 3 or 4 notes on them. So it would be for the land, then for the build out. Is it for furnishings? Can you walk us through a little bit of...
Okay. So the containers has, the container property has 3 notes, okay, one for the land, and one for 2 of the containers. The other container I paid out of pocket.
Okay.
Just to get started. But the revenue that the property produces more than takes care of the notes. I mean, these aren't huge notes. So the $50,000 a piece takes care of the build and the furnishings on those small spaces.
And when you bought the land, because this is very different than someone that we just had on the show, because they're financed completely by themselves, mm-hmm, and they're just building all the A-frames. With the containers and the land that you bought, when you purchased the land, did you go in like, I want to put all containers? And did you know how many you wanted to put on the land? Or were you just kind of looking for that perfect space and then going to let the land tell you what type of properties you were going to build on them?
So when we look at a property, we kind of, you know, see how much area is there, how much space is buildable. And, you know, with an 8x20 container, it's not taking up a lot of room. But, you know, you find the lot. This was a 2-acre lot. And we come in and have a soil analysis done. The soil analysis will tell us how many units we can put on the property. So they said it's approved for a 3-bedroom home or 3 1-bedroom tiny homes. So at that point, we know 3 is our max, and that's what we planned on. We started with 2 just to prove the concept, mainly to my wife. And then we added the 3rd one after she saw how well it was done. But, you know, it's just like the A-frames. You know, you can go in there and fund these yourselves, but if you have the ability to use other people's money to fund these deals, that just takes your money so much further.
And you know what I've learned over the past couple of years is that you kind of said, like, you know, use other people's money, or like, you know, you feel like you feel bad asking people for money, but you're having them join an opportunity. And so many people I found thinks what we do is sexy, even though we all know how hard it is what we do and how stressful it can be, but it is rewarding and people want to be a part of it. This is why HGTV and like all these real estate shows and podcasts are so popular. So, I mean, don't you feel too, Mike, if you can, like you said, you do a lot of listening when you talk to sellers and to lenders, you see what they need, and then you open your mouth and you give them a win-win situation that is going to, I mean, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're making money too. And you're maximizing your profits by being smart about how to use the land and maximizing your opportunity there as well.
So, you know, you strategically put yourself in places for where these individuals are. You know, so I go to IRA conferences to learn how to grow my IRA, but there's also a lot of people there that are wanting to grow their IRAs. So I don't mind paying a financial friend a little bit more to let them grow their IRA, because I'm going to do the same thing with mine. So I'm happy to see them earn a better return and get it in their IRA. I'm making good money. They're making good money. It's a win-win. I went to a seminar in Tampa a few months ago, and they had a panel at the end of the end of day 2, and you could come up and ask this experienced panel anything you wanted. So there's 300 people in the room, the panel of 5, and probably 200 people listening on the live on the internet. So I get up in front of the room and I say, what is the best way to approach private lenders? You know, I knew the whole time I was sitting in front of 500 people and I was inundated. So you got to put yourself out there. But I was inundated with people after coming up and giving me their cards and, hey, I'm interested. And, hey, you know, I like what you're doing. So you just got to put yourself out there. Mm-hmm. That was one of those mic drop moments. I don't do it much. But
did you like walk up with a smirk on your face? Like, these guys don't even know what's going to hit them in like 2 seconds.
I was trying not to laugh. And then I get back to my seat with the people that I went with. And they're like, Mike, why did you ask that? And I'm like, man, there's 500 people here. Why would I not ask it?
Yeah, right. So, they're on the deal. That guy's looking for private money. I got, because here's the thing. There are people with money and they don't know, either they don't know what to do with it or how to grow it, which like you said, that's why they're at a conference, or they don't have time, right? Mm-hmm. Like they just, it's so, I mean, there's some that in our lives who like, they have a corporate job, they've got kiddos, like they've got all the things and all they want to do is grow their portfolio, but they don't know how. You come up, you know what I mean? You show them your track record or like that you've got a plan in place and boom. Okay.
There's hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in self-directed Roth IRAs that's not being utilized. Mm-hmm. You know, you just got to get in front of them.
So good. Okay. That's good. I hope a lot of you listeners are inspired to go and
I'll be honest, what Mike just said, self-directed IRA, 2 years ago, I had no idea what that was. Mm. I did not know what that, this will not be a self-directed IRA conversation, but Google it. And honestly, I did not know what that was. Still, honestly, probably don't completely understand it, but am learning about it. So if you do have an IRA, you actually can self-direct the funds. They don't have to sit in a mutual fund or in stocks if you don't want them to. So look that up and do yourself a favor. But I think Mike is giving us like so much good stuff, because I think what I'm hearing, and we're going to get to this next, what I'm hearing this like through and through with Mike is you don't have to do all this by yourself, siloed and grind away on your own and trying to convince a bank to loan you money for your dream of your container home or your glamping.
Real estate's a team sport.
It is.
I like that.
And it can be so exciting too. Like Nadia had a couple exciting weeks, and I remember telling Nick, my husband, I was like, this is fun because I love interiors. I love guests. I love the whole thing, but you can kind of forget how fun it is to find a deal and see if you're going to get it or not and how, you know, what you're going to pay. I don't know who you can get in on it and how to make everyone happy. It's a cool puzzle to put together. Mike. Okay. Someone on the, you know, who's listening to the podcast are like, this sounds great. I would love to do a new build or, you know, do an interesting short-term rental build on a property. Other than finding something special about it, a view, water, anything, you know, beautiful landscape, whatever that is, what else is important when you're looking for a spot to do a build?
There's so many things. So I'll go through the top ones that get me. It's usually something in planning and zoning that restricts, something in the deed that restricts, or the soil analysis. Those are usually the three keys that if you can't get those, you might as well move on. Don't waste a lot of time over it. We just fell out of contract on a property that we've been working through for 4 months where deed restrictions were placed on by the previous seller. And he passed away. Only descendant was a nephew. And we traced him down and get all the way to, you know, 2 days before closing, and he disappears, won't sign, won't talk, won't, you know, so it's just, those are things you deal with. So I don't think I'll chase down restrictions, deed restrictions anymore, trying to get them removed. But, you know, deed restrictions, county restrictions, and septic are your biggest hurdles when you're looking for land.
Is that something a potential buyer can find out from the real estate agent? Like, where do you find those answers that you need? And do you have time to find these answers, or is there research you can do on your own so that you can be quick with, you know, moving forward on the deal?
So we had, typically we do the due diligence ourselves. You know, I want to call and find out from the county or the city or whatever municipality myself. I want to hear, you know, or see their code book and see not only are the restrictions there, or is there a way I can get around it? Is there a way, you know, we're looking in Blue Ridge right now and they allow one structure per property. Well, we want to put two containers on it. So I'm in the whole, okay, if we connect them with a roof, is it one structure or is it two units? You know, so those are the gray areas that I live in. But the soil analysis, you'll have to hire that out. They'll come out and dig holes and tell you what types of soil you have, what type of septic system will be required, and how many bedrooms will be allowed. The deed restriction, we put in our contract that we wanted to, it was contingent upon us being able to build 8 tiny homes.
Okay.
So when the title company pulled the deed, they saw that it had restrictions of 2,500 square feet. Which the seller had told us there were no restrictions. So that was what killed that deal.
Can I ask, when you're saying tiny home, does a container home, is it defined as a tiny home?
Yes, it would be. Depending on the home. But yeah, I mean, the ones I built they're definitely under the, I think they consider under 400 square feet. So a 40 footer is 360.
Okay. So if a potential listener who's, you know, is looking for land and they see something they like, they see something they like on wherever, they call the municipality, they find out, you know, what's going on, they can put an offer in and have it contingent on a soil analysis and on, you know, this is what I want to do with it. I want a title company to do a search, and that would be something that's normal, acceptable, and you could most likely go on contract to buy you some more time.
I usually put a contingency in for the soil analysis, for utilities, and for the type of home we're wanting to put in. And usually that everything but the soil analysis can be completed within your 15 days of due diligence or whatever.
Okay.
Soil analysis right now is taking 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh my
gosh. So you're having to put a long time frame on these contracts to get them to work.
I didn't even know about a soil analysis until today. So question for you, if you're truly going to do like a glamping site where there isn't any water at all, do you still have to do the soil analysis and the deed restrictions? Like, let's say you're not actually building a home. It's truly going to be a glamping site with tents. Do you still need to do this type of due diligence?
So yeah. So the county that I've been working in with the container homes, they don't allow compost and toilets. So even if you didn't put a septic system in and you say, hey, I'm going to use compost and toilet and solar and well water, they will not allow it if it will not pass the soul test.
Okay.
But there's other municipalities that will.
Okay.
So again, that's why you need to do that homework.
Just depends.
Interesting. No, that's good to know, because I feel like a lot of our listeners, they want to, or we're talking about glamping, or like what's the quickest, least expensive, like they just want to get started doing something. And it's like, oh yeah, I can just get some land, build a deck, put a nice tent on it. And then I'm like, can start making revenue so I can work on my big, big plans next. But that's really helpful, because do you think a normal real estate agent, if you're going to ask them these questions about glamping or container homes or tiny homes, how granular do you think you need to get when you're having a real estate agent help you in a certain area?
Well, what we found is that most of the time, real estate agents are tough to deal with. It's hard to get them to answer their phone, let alone look up restrictions and details. That's been my experience. And my wife is an agent. So
I wish you could see Mike's grinning right now, because he's like, holy, I know there's a ton of real estate agents listening. He's trying to like tiptoe around it and say it, but
yeah,
you're saying we might have to put the work in there.
Yeah, I've always put the work in, and it just, you know, the last one we called about, we asked for the restrictions, and he said, you'll just have to look at the deed. You know, that's the listing agent.
Okay.
What is that listing agency these days? I called the other day and I was like, just ask them, can we short-term rent this? And they're like, I don't know, look in the bylaws. And I was like,
okay. You don't have that available with your listing. We called about two properties in Blue Ridge the other day, and the agent wouldn't answer. She texts back and said, I'm in Savannah. I can't talk right now.
Oh my God.
I'm like, well, I just need to know the location of this lot. Never replied back. I sent another text the next day that says, is there anyone in your office that would like to sell a property? She still never replied.
What?
So, if you're an agent out there and you're listening, answer your phone.
Because people want to buy. People are
do the work.
People are actually ready to buy. Man, Mike, you have just given a lot of information about.
I have one quick question.
The land purchase.
So, Mike, but all these locations that you're looking into, how far away are they from your home base?
The furthest out we're looking right now is about an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, so not too far.
So so you're a full-time investor. So you're able to go out like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, make the drive around. And is that what it is? Are you like, because I did, Hocking Hills, Mike. I think you did took a trip up here and drove around for a little bit, right?
We never made it through. We drove through Columbus, but we didn't make it to look at Hocking Hills.
Okay. Well, you know, Nettie and I have been interested in, you know, I love the urban market, but Hocking Hills is a booming, more vacation rental market here. And I think I've done two situations where I've done on blank land. And you do have to have an eye for what's possible. So, and be able to just like, some of them are hard to get to. It's like the seller's like, well, you got to like get out of your car and hike up this hill and figure it out. And I mean, is that what you're doing on like any random Wednesday morning?
Well, we've tried to kind of couple it with family trips. So, you know, last week we're looking at Blue Ridge. So we drive down and we take the kids tubing, and then we go out looking for property in the evenings, go out and try different restaurants. And we just, you know, I like the term driving for dollars, but you know, we're getting out there and, you know, finding things that aren't listed. We're driving down the road beside the creek and seeing, okay, this house is listed, but the one next door, the guy's out there with a table saw in the yard working on it. We got out and talked to him. He's ready to sell. So, you know, those are the things you run up across when you're driving that you're not going to find on Zillow or Facebook yard sale or whatever. But you're also finding vacant lots. We've called and had success with several lot owners. So we're trying to work through negotiations now. But and those are properties that not on the market.
How hard is it to run plumbing and septic and all that to like a blank slate? Is it the worst thing you've ever done in your life, or is it not that hard?
Well, we're not doing it. We have subcontractors that do that, but.
But you're managing it, kind of.
Yes, we are. And the mountain, yeah, you can feel it because, you know, up there on the mountain, we're digging in rock. So we got the first two septic tanks in, no problem. The third one, we're in rock. So we had to bring in a hoe ram and start busting out rock. It's been a day and a half jackhammering rock. So it just starts, you open up your paycheck then, your wallet then.
How many short-term rentals do you have now?
We have 7 right now, and then getting ready to add the treehouse in the fall. And then we were hoping to add the 8 more on that other property, but it fell through. So we're looking hard for the next piece, hoping to be at 20 by the end of next year.
Okay, so your goal is 20 by the end of 2022.
So if you're listening, you have land, actually reach out to Sarah and I first. We'll buy it, and then we'll let Mike buy it, and then
we're going to need help. Mike, you want to partner up on the next one?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. We'll get it first, and then we're going to upcharge him just a little bit because we found the land. So, you know.
She plays hardball, Mike.
Anyways, so.
That's fair.
Okay. But so, Mike, in all seriousness, you are giving all of these, you know, all of these gems here. What, tell our listeners though, because I think they're going to be surprised about what your greatest investment has been in your real estate career. Can you share that with us?
Man, there's been so many good investments, but like I said, I started 20 years ago and I nickeled and dimed along for 15 years. And I went to, believe it or not, one of those sleazy come into town, teach you how to wholesale houses and use all your credit cards to fund this deal and everything. But what I took from that was to join your local RIA. And, you know, I'd been all this time, never heard of a RIA, never knew anything about it. I go to my RIA and meet some individuals and hear some speakers, and they started talking about education, real estate education. So the best investment I've made in myself, or made period, is in myself. And starting to go to events. When I started to go into real estate events and networking and learning these strategies that, you know, that I hadn't used for the last 15 years, my career exploded. And I mean, you know, out of the 225 properties, 200 of them were in the last 5 years, you know. Wow. So it's all in learning. I try to go to a seminar a month. You know, since COVID, I haven't been able to do that. But, you know, that's why I joined Hosting Business Mastery, because, you know, I'm educated in putting together deals, funding, options, self-storage, rentals, but I'm not educated in short-term rentals. So, you know, I have to reach out to the niche market that I'm wanting to learn about and educate myself. And that's what's really propelled me forward.
We love
so,
that.
And the ability to get on and have the monthly calls and the Facebook forums and be able to network with other short-term rental operators is just invaluable.
And what Mike's talking about, if you're not familiar, our Hosting Business Mastery is a membership that Sarah and I have. And, you know, we have education. We have a course that's there. But what Mike is referring to is we do a monthly networking call where we're honestly networking all together via Zoom, hosts from all over the country, and they might have one property to, like Mike has his tiny home container village, or they might be co-host. And we have other calls that's just us strictly networking. But then we have hot seat calls where Sarah and I are coaching. We bring in industry experts, people that have been on our podcast. We have another call where we go over our numbers. So we found it that this is where our group, this is our professional alliance. Like he's saying, you know, he would go to real estate investment meetings. Well, that's what Sarah and I are creating, is a professional network for hosts where we can all come together and learn from each other. And that's where, you know, we get to hang out with Mike a couple times a month. So
the education is invaluable. You know, you can take the 10 years to learn it on your own, or you can join up and learn it in a year. You know, you learn from everybody else. You're not paying for the course, you're paying for their experience and paying for the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Educate yourself.
Oh, we love that. And we're all rising up together too. What's really, really great. And that's why we're like, we got to have Mike. Cause the reason we know all this stuff about Mike now is because he's in there and he's talking about what's going on in his world and helping other members and asking us questions. We're like, oh, we're in it. We're in the community. We're growing together. So that's where we're like, Mike, you've got some great stuff going on. We need to share this with other people that aren't in our group, just so they can get some of these, because Mike's dropping knowledge bombs in there on everybody.
And real quick, Mike, let's talk to our listeners about, so you've got your, you got 7 now, right? And you want to be at 20 by the end of next year. So you got to have your operations dialed in. So far, what has been the biggest time saver for you and your wife when it comes to keeping the guests straight, keeping the turnover straight? Like what has been the biggest, I guess maybe improvement? Because that's way different than long-term rentals, right? You're running mini hotels now all over your area.
Yeah, so linking the calendars was one of the first things. And then turning over the cleaning to a professional company that handles that. That's been the biggest time saver and the biggest relief on her. Of course, it wasn't possible for her to, you know, to do all of the cleaning.
Right.
At that level, so, and do it well. And that's what she was doing in the beginning, and hats off to her. This was kind of, you know, born out of, I went to the RIA, saw, hey, you can turn this into an Airbnb or a short-term rental. I came home to her and said, hey, let's do this. And she's gung-ho. She loves to decorate. So she gets in there and furnishes and starts with one and just kept going.
Oh, and is she addicted now? Is she like pump the next 13?
Yeah, she loves the, now that she's not cleaning, she loves
But I bet you she has a whole new respect for the turnover and the cleaning process. And there's nothing like, you know, knowing how hard that gig is. I had another question for you. Do you have a direct booking site or a place where everyone can see what you're working on?
Yes, the booking site for the containers is wanderchat.com. That's WANDER, chat like Chattanooga.
We'll make sure to link to that.
Yeah, and then the Instagram is, her Instagram is @wanderchat. And then mine is @findyourrepurpose.
And we will link to that, listener. So if you're driving or what have you, don't worry. Mike, where do you see your, what do you want to do? You're a wealth of knowledge. And in our Facebook group, in our private Facebook group, you're always willing to like answer people's questions or give your opinions. And I know education and giving back to your community is really important to you. Like, what are your plans in the next few years other than building your short-term rental empire?
I'm working on a book on glamping and converting that into a course as well. And then next year, fall of 2022, we're going to do a 2-day intensive that'll be on site. I'm going to limit it to 20 people for the first year just to kind of get my feet wet and not overdo myself. But it'll be on site. We'll take property tours of the glamping units that we have. We'll walk land. We'll go through the due diligence process.
What?
Basically, you know, start to finish what you need to do to start your glamping business. And then on Saturday night, we'll do a VIP and I'll hang out with 5 or 6 people and at the treehouse and sit around the fire pit and I'll cook supper and you ask me anything you want.
So there's 18 spots left, listeners, because Nettie and I will be there. And you've got 4 spots left for your VIP. So sounds great. No, that's ridiculous. That's amazing. I mean, listeners too, like, yes, Annette and I have a membership because we're obsessed with leveling up what it means to be a short-term rental host. If we don't level up what it means to be a short-term rental host, many of us are going to find ourselves not able to operate in our local areas, I promise you. So we take it very seriously, but you better believe Annette and I educate ourselves. I mean, Nettie, how many courses have you taken this week?
A lot.
No, I'm not joking. Like,
no,
you guys, the day,
yeah.
She took a course in etiquette last mm-hmm. week.
Oh, no, I'm getting ready to. Actually, the stock market was last week. And Bitcoin. I'm just putting it out there. But
mm-hmm. Nettie, yeah, she's always, I mean, I'm more of a podcast, I'm Audible book reader. And we have a coach for, you know, Nettie and I have a business coach. Nick, my husband and I have a business coach. So I think it's great that you're going to, and in such an intimate setting too, Mike, be able to really help 20 other people catapult their investing careers.
Yeah, we'll link to Mike's Instagram in the show notes and you can shoot him a DM and he'll get your email address and
let you know when that's open
for that.
Yeah, but, definitely.
And if we want to let everybody know too, if you want to hang out with Sarah and I or Mike, we're going to do a workshop on August 17th.
2021, in case this, you listen to this episode
yeah.
2 years from now. But yeah, August 17th, 2021 at noon Eastern Standard Time.
And we're going to talk about our membership there, get everybody intro'd to that, just the same way that we started with Mike. So if you're interested, we'll have a link in our show notes there too, so you can attend that free workshop.
And then, of course, we'll Instagram this October. Mike, we're going to come stay in one of your rentals and we couldn't be more excited.
I'm excited. It's going to be great.
Tell us your top 3 favorite things about the rental we're staying in.
The view.
Location.
We have no internet on site. This is a site to come and unplug.
Okay.
The only show that we get up there is the view.
Okay.
So, good for us to know. All right. Sounds good. All right, Mike. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, guys.
You're going to be responsible for lots of land deals.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
I hope so.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
All right, listeners. Thanks. I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.